You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's not one of the Christmas carols that are on the all-time greatest hits list, but it is one of my all-time favorites, and it's one that we always, I think, try to work in here at the very start of the Christmas season. That is a hymn that dates back to England in the year 1853, written by John Mason Neal, an English Anglican priest and hymn writer, scholar, Good King Wenceslas. And that, to me, represents everything that there is about being a Christian, the sacrifice for your kith and kin, the sacrifice for your faith and your people. It is a beautiful and wondrous hymn, and if that was sung by a traditional English choir, we're going to be playing that throughout this, our third and final hour tonight. If you didn't catch the lyrics, if you couldn't decipher them, I will relay this poem to you after each stanza. Good King Wenceslas looked out on the feast of Stephen, when the snow lay round about, deep and crisp and even. Brightly shone the moon that night, though the frost was cruel, when a poor man came in sight, gathering winter fuel. Ladies and gentlemen, rounding out our holiday broadcast this weekend is Lawrence Blanchard. He has a Master's of Divinity, and he's joining us to discuss matters of faith, our biblical heritage, and his book, which I have on my desk right now in the studio, The Authentic Gospel, Restoring the Original Intent. Lawrence, it is great to have you tonight. What a wonderful way to kick off the Christmas season on TPC. How are you doing this evening?
Well, I'm doing just great, James. Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, you know, we had talked about having you on even before tonight, and you were actually scheduled to appear a week or two ago, and then I thought, you know, considering the subject, considering the time of year that it is, I thought it would be best to move you to this evening, and what an evening it's been with Steve King, Congressman King, Peter Brimelow. You actually sent me an email earlier today talking about sort of the serendipity of how it all came together.
Yes, right. Well, as you know, Steve King did speak at the American Renaissance conference not too long ago. I was not there at the conference, but I know he spoke. And interestingly, there was a church, the Cumberland Presbyterian Church. I don't know anything about the church. I don't know where it's located. But they came out against the conference and talked about how the conference was a bunch of, you know, white supremacists and racists and, you know, the jargon that goes with it. And a fellow named J.B. Clark had written an article, and it was posted on American Renaissance, basically exposing all of that and what, you know, how nonsensical the whole thing was. And so, but it's typical of what the vast majority, if not almost all, of the Protestant evangelical churches are preaching today. And I try to show that in my book, The Authentic Gospel, Restoring the Original Intent. And, you know, I wanted to be fair. You know, I came out of this tradition, this Judeo-Christian tradition, And I was a pastor of several churches. And at one point, the Lord in his mercy, I didn't think it was in his mercy at that time, but he jerked me out really hard, leveled me spiritually, economically, physically, and he just took me out. And it just was a devastating experience for me because I thought he called me into the ministry and I didn't know what was happening and why, but he did that for a purpose that I could see now as I look back, that he had to remove everything from me in order to rebuild. And so, you know, my story and how I got to this, the book that I just wrote, began with the study of law. And I found out, as I kept studying, I had a keen interest for some reason in the law of our country and where the laws came from. And as I was reading Blackstone and some of these other jurists of the past centuries, I noticed that the Ten Commandments, for example, were inherent within the European tradition and was inherent within the European laws. And this is where our nation came from, the foundation of common law and so forth. But it was all based upon the Ten Commandments, and Blackstone made that very clear. And so I thought, well, this is interesting. So I had to ask the question, why is it within European people and really nowhere else? It's not in China, it's not in India, it's not in Africa. Why here? And so one question led to another, and I began to discover that, hey, maybe it is the Northwestern European people and their kindred who are the people of Israel. And as I began to investigate, God began to put people into my life, and I began to read books on the subject matter, and I said, this changes the whole paradigm. And so I had to go back and study the Bible again, James. I had to start from the beginning. I just kind of said, okay, we're going to start from the beginning, and I'm going to read the scripture from the beginning all the way through. And as I did, I took notes, and I began to see a pattern. And the pattern was that the Bible, in essence, is the story, historical, true account of one man and his family, and all the way through the Bible, beginning particularly with Genesis chapter 12, and the covenants, the key people, the events all line up in a very consistent manner. And I thought, I've never seen the Bible this way before. And so, you know, I just was fascinated by this, and I just delved into this, and through my research and through my own study, I began to see what the truth of the matter was in our heritage. Our heritage goes back to the Bible and goes back literally. And so that's where it all started.
I don't even know where to begin after that opening salvo. Lawrence Blanchard, our guest right now. By the way, folks, be sure to check out his website, yourbiblicalheritage.com. Yourbiblicalheritage.com. I've got a lot I want to talk with this gentleman about, and we'll get to it next. Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject from the Spanish Civil War to the funding behind the transgender movement. Antelope Hill publishes books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo and brings real culture to the reading public at an affordable price. If you count yourself as a political dissident, you owe it to yourself to check out the Antelope Hill catalog with exclusive offerings like Solzhenitsyn and the Right, the Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more. There's something there for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out the catalog today at AntelopeHillPublishing.com. That's AntelopeHillPublishing.com.
I'm James Edwards, and I want you to go to AntelopeHillPublishing.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Hither, page, and stand by me. If thou hast it telling, yonder peasant, who is he? Where and what is dwelling?
So he lives a goodly hence, underneath the mountain, rising against the forest fence, by St. Agnes Mountain.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you've never really dug into the words of that Christmas carol, that hymn, you really should. Now, I shouldn't have mentioned this because I'm a tough guy. You know that. But listening to this song, boy, it'll bring a tear to your eyes if you think about the potency of its lyrics and what it's talking about. That particular stanza, hither page and stand by me if thou know'st its telling. Yonder peasant, who is he? Where and what his dwelling? And the page answers to the monarch, sire, he lives a good league hence, underneath the mountain, right against the forest fence, by St. Agnes Fountain. And I'll tell you why we're sharing that particular hymn tonight. But first, back to Lawrence Blanchard, author of The Authentic Gospel, Restoring the Original Intent. Be sure to check out his collection of works at yourbiblicalheritage.com. Lawrence, I couldn't have been more impressed with your opening remarks in the previous segment. I wrote an article, sort of a short autobiographical piece for a Christian webzine back in 2015. And in it, I will just read an excerpt, just two paragraphs here. Paul and his compatriots made three missionary journeys to spread the gospel, the second of which is of particular interest to us. That's where Paul wanted to go to Asia to preach, but Acts 16 tells us that the Holy Spirit prevented him from doing that. And in a vision, Paul saw a man standing across the sea shouting to him, come to Macedonia and help us. And so Paul immediately assembled his team and went. So why is this of particular interest, though? Because it is the introduction of Christianity to Europe, and that is to white people. Now, rather than send the gospel to Asians, God first sent it to white people, our people, and we embraced it. And unlike other people on this globe, we weren't conquered into Christianity. We were convinced into it. We saw its virtues. We accepted it. It changed our lives and the lives of our ancestors. And for so long, Europe itself was known as Christendom. The faith is Europe, and Europe is the faith. And it inspired our people to the greatest discoveries and accomplishments in the history of the world. And if you're a white Christian, this is your heritage and birthright. Now, the modern-day churches don't teach that. They say that it's, you know, in fact, a sin to be proud of that birthright. And I'm sure, Lawrence, you have a response to that.
Well, I do. And coming out of that, I understand where they're coming from. And when I wrote this book, The Authentic Gospel, I was fair with them in saying, look, there are some things that you can prove biblically according to the evidence. Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection, salvation, redemption, all of that is biblically based. And I shared that at the beginning of the book. But then I said, but the majority of Christians, mission agencies, church denominations, independent churches, all believe that this gospel that Jesus preached and his disciples preached is for everyone on the planet. And what I did was say, look, let's take a very objective look. Let's use the principles of biblical interpretation. Basically, everything must be determined by its context, and the Bible must be allowed to interpret itself. And when those two principles are exacting and objectively applied, you cannot come up with a different gospel. And it is a gospel that went back to Abraham. It was preached to Old Testament Israel in Moses' time. It was preached by the prophets in the context to Israel. So this gospel that Jesus Christ preached, the gospel of the kingdom, was not unknown, but it was understood by those first century Christians in Judea. And of course, as you mentioned, when the Apostle Paul and the rest of the apostles went further out to the Greek areas, and, you know, as you mentioned, to Macedonia, this gospel was received. The problem is that there has been misinterpretation of the and assumptions made that are considered fact. For example, I use the word world, you know, the translations of world. What does world mean? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, John 3:16. Well, what does world mean in that immediate context? What does it mean in the context of the Gospel of John? And if you trace that word, it comes from the Greek word cosmos. It is defined specifically as a people, as a world system, not a global system, but a world system. And if you take that in the context of the entire Bible, it's talking about Israel. From Abraham all the way through the New Covenant scriptures, it is about one people, the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And James, consider the implications of our heritage. If this is true, that we are the covenant people of God, consider the implications, because it was God's intention to restore his kingdom through the Adamic race, the white race of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in particular, to restore and manifest that kingdom in righteousness, peace, and joy, and power. And the plan is very clear in the New Testament about how that is to be implemented, and is to be implemented through local covenant churches. And, you know, we talk about the world system and, you know, the IMF, the United Nations, the World Health Organization, and all those organizations and globalists that control this country right now. Well, how is that going to be stopped? It's going to be stopped when we take local control of our local magistrates and say, this is the way it's going to be. We're going to live biblically, and we're not going to have any other way to do it. If it's controlled locally, James, this whole global system collapses.
You know, Lawrence, I don't think I've told you this. I know I haven't told you this, but people familiar with this broadcast will know this already. I grew up as a Southern Baptist, and it was a wonderful upbringing. I went to a very small church. The pastor of that church, still a near and dear good friend of mine,
yeah,
he introduced me to my wife. He officiated our wedding. He led me to the Lord. He officiated the funerals of anybody near to me that has ever passed away. He was the pastor of this church when my grandparents were going there, when my parents started to go there before I was born. And all through my life, 42 years of age, I've known this man. It was a wonderful, wonderful way to grow up. in a small Southern Baptist church, and it was in that nest that I marinated in my formative years. And it was just a real shame. It's been a real shame to see it, because that was a wonderful hierarchy there. I mean, it was a bottom up type of thing where the local church was autonomous, and, you know, in the Southern Baptist, it's a little bit different than some of the other denominations. The local church is autonomous, and the higher you go, the less power they supposedly have. But of course, you know, when the Southern Baptist Convention started attacking the Confederate flag and the ancestors of all of those people who made the Southern Baptist Convention an entity to begin with, you know, attacking our heritage, attacking the people who championed our faith before our time, you know, I couldn't stand for that. So I began to speak out against it on this program. And then, well, again, people can look this up. You know the story. My pastor got a call. They said, you got to discipline James Edwards. He's, you know, he's a racist. He's this, he's that. He's saying this about the flag. And my pastor, you know, I've known this guy my whole life. He's still a friend. I said, I can't do that. I don't think that's a sin. I know James. I don't care what the CNN or the SPLC says about James, so on and so forth. I've told this story so many times, I don't want to dwell on it. But they ended up taking action against the entire church body and disfellowshipping the church. And, you know, I think we need to get back to that authentic gospel, do we not, Lawrence Blanchard? You know, the people who are willing to sacrifice their actual lives, not just what the media may call them, not what the enemies of Christ might call them, but their actual lives. They were willing to sacrifice that. That's the kind of faith that will motivate a man to do something, to rise to a higher calling, something greater than himself. We'll be back with Lawrence Blanchard next to talk about that.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
We are learning more about the six victims in this week's shooting of a Walmart in Chesapeake, Virginia. 16-year-old Fernando Chavez Barron is the youngest victim. A vigil was held for him at the store Thursday night. Chavez Barron's friend, Joshua Trejo Alvarado, was there and spoke with television station WTKR.
I was hoping everything was a dream until the day I wish he was here standing with me.
Chesapeake police released details of a so-called death note from the gunman, Andre Bing, that was left on his phone. Bing was a supervisor at the store. Police confirmed that the handgun Bing used was purchased legally the morning of the shooting. Bing ultimately was found dead from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Heavy rain has triggered a massive landslide on the southern Italian resort island of Ischia. At least one person is dead and up to 12 others are missing. Rescuers are being careful with a small bulldozer to pick through the mud as they search for possible victims. Reinforcements, including teams of sniffer dogs, arrived by ferry to help. A Florida judge will decide whether a former college student who randomly killed a couple in their garage 6 years ago will stand trial. 25-year-old Austin Harof has pleaded not guilty by reason of insanity for the August 2016 slayings of 59-year-old John Stevens and his wife, 53-year-old Michelle. Harof was 19 at the time of the incident. He allegedly knifed and bludgeoned the couple to death. By the time police arrived, he was chewing on John Stevens' face. Harof nearly died from the chemicals he drank in the garage. Award-winning actress and singer Irene Cara has died. As an actress, she had her breakout role as Coco Hernandez in the 1980 movie Fame. She also sang the title track from that film. 3 years later, she scored another hit with Flashdance, What a Feeling. Cara's death at her Florida home was confirmed by her publicist. Irene Cara was 63. You're listening to USA Radio News.
With PatriotSoftware.com, accounting and payroll, keep your time and money.
Mike Capel here, serial entrepreneur with words from another happy payroll customer.
Well, it's very easy to use, from the login and the setup was extremely easy. I didn't have to call anyone for help. I was able to do it on my own. And I love the fact that I can run my payroll and print my pay stubs, and then you guys do all of the filing for me. So I get a quarterly report that everything's been filed on my behalf. And then at the end of the year, I can print out my W-2s. So I use you guys I tell everybody, it's the easiest thing I've ever done. Why anybody doesn't use y'all, I don't know.
Visit us at PatriotSoftware.com. Use promo code RADIO and get 2 months of payroll free. That's PatriotSoftware.com.
With PatriotSoftware.com, accounting and payroll, keep your time and money.
Bring me flesh and bring me wine. Bring me kind lords hither. Thou and I will see him dine. When we bear them thither.
Pigeons born, forth they went together. Through the wood rings was the best, and the leaves the weather.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, we're just kicking off the Christmas season here on TPC, and it's specifically why I wanted to bump, if you'll pardon the phrase, Lawrence Blanchard to tonight's program, which is the first of our Christmas season series of broadcasting. That is the Christmas hymn, as we mentioned, Good King Wenceslas, John Mason Neal, England, 1853. And that particular stanza, bring me food and bring me wine, bring me pine logs hither. Thou and I will see him dine when we bear him thither. Page and monarch, forth they went together through the cold wind's wild lament and the bitter weather. And then the page responds to the monarch, sire, the night is darker now and the winds blow stronger. Fails my heart, I know not how, I can go no longer. And the monarch responds to his page, mark my footsteps, good my page, tread thou in them boldly. Thou shalt find the winter's rage freeze thy blood less coldly. Lawrence, that is a hymn of sacrifice where a king and his young page are sacrificing bitter weather and a treacherous trip to take winter fuel, food, and kindling to one of their kinsmen, to their countrymen. They're not risking that for someone in some far-off land. Not that that would be a bad thing, but the modern-day church now teaches us that there can be no salvation if we are appreciative and thankful of the way that God made us. Our ancestors were all evil. You know, people talk about this. Well, I'll get to this in a moment. I'll get to this in a moment. But the theme of this hymn, what do you make of it, Lawrence? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong.
No. Yes, that's correct. And you know, the interesting thing is, James, is that I think a lot of our people in the past understood who we were. I was told by a pastor many years ago who really understood this message, and he had written a number of articles and publications. And I said, well, how come our people don't know this? He said, you don't understand. He said, most of the Lutheran pastors at one time knew this. They knew who we were, and they preached that gospel. And I said, really? I didn't know that. But it's true. I ask pastors, I ask them the question, to whom did God make a new covenant with? And I've only had one pastor in the last 25 years who answered it correctly. Now, that's an interesting question because, if we don't know the answer to that question, it should be very basic. But in Jeremiah 31:31-33, and Hebrews 8:8-10, it's very clear. God made a new covenant with the house of Israel, the house of Judah. And they didn't know how to answer that. And I thought, and frankly, after 3 years of graduate school and seminary, I didn't know how to answer it. That's how dumbed down we were. And The problem is that without understanding that and the history of Israel as explained in the Old Testament, we wouldn't know who the house of Israel and the house of Judah are in relation to what is translated as Jews and Gentiles, respectively. And I show in my book that one of the major critical assumptions that is absolutely false is that Jews are Israel and Gentiles are everybody on the planet. And I show, especially in my books, and I go through this very carefully, point by point, as I review the historical account of Abraham and his family, all the way through Israel and all the way through the New Testament, that Jews, unfortunately, that's a bad translation, and it's confusing to a lot of people, but it should be Judeans or the house of Judah, and the Gentiles, the house of Israel, that was reconciled by God through Jesus Christ, not only back to God, but to their brethren Judea and the Judeans. And unless you know that history and can trace it all the way through the Bible, you wouldn't understand who the Bible is for and how it's to be applied. That is critical. And so these assumptions have become facts that have, you know, we've had this for the last 18 centuries, this idea. But the idea that Jews are Israel and Gentiles are everybody else on the planet is absolutely, unequivocally false.
You've got that here in your book, and I am on page 142 as I hold it in my hand here at the studio, a piece on Judeo-Christianity, so-called Judeo-Christianity. You write, Lawrence,
yes,
much of people's ignorance about what has been and still is due to the commonly accepted belief system, Judeo-Christianity, operating behind the scenes to create a universal, egalitarian, and you put in quotations, Christian culture. Also in quotations, Judeo-Christian is an appellation implying that Judaism is the basis for the Christian faith. It is widely acknowledged and assumed as true, but it is not.
Yes, that's correct. Judaism was never the basis for Christianity, biblical Christianity. And to say that it is, people don't understand where Judaism came from. It came out of Babylon. And the Judeans who came back, the remnant of them, to the land of Israel after the Babylonian captivity of 70 years, brought with them this idea of a Babylonian religion called, that was now called Judaism. And in my book, I've written seven books called the Covenant Heritage Series. You can find them on our website. But in the second book, we detail exactly where it came from. And I quote Jewish historians and Jewish authors, including rabbis, that testify that Judaism is out of Babylon. And the Judaism that is practiced today is out of Babylon. It has nothing to do with the Old Testament. And Judaism, codified in the Talmud, is, how can I term it? It is the most anti-biblical piece of work ever produced, and in many cases, vile. There's no way that it can be that. And in Judaism, and I think Kevin McDonald talks about this also, when he talks about, why the Jews have really gone for egalitarianism and promoted the immigration is to protect themselves also. So they have been at the forefront of this egalitarian idea, and the churches have just lapped it up. And unfortunately, when I quote these churches in the latter part of my book and what they say about the white race and racism and so forth, I mean, you might as well read it out of a government document or a corporate document. They have it is lockstep in line with the world system. And I will go as far as to say, James, that everything that has happened in our nation and in decades past, and even back to the war between the states, if the churches in the North and the churches of the South had said, no, we are not going to go to war against our brother because we are one brother, and they were to stand up and say what is being dictated by the federal government is wrong. And if the churches would have just stood up even at that point and from then on and say, no, for example, the Federal Reserve System and the creation of a monetary system not based upon God's laws of just weights and measures is wrong, and we're going to protest against that, and we're not going to put up with it. If we had done that, we would not be in this position today. I lay everything at the doorstep of the churches.
Let's get to that when we come back with one fleeting segment remaining. I've used the adjective twice tonight. Very rarely do we have a show that we could have gone the full 3 hours, which each of the three guests, Steve King, Peter Brimelow, Lawrence Blanchard, but boy, could I have ever. Check out his website, yourbiblicalheritage.com.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
Steps, good my pig, tread thou in them boldly. Thou shalt find the winter's rage, freeze thy blood less coldly.
In his master's steps he trod, where the stirrings entered. His was in the
I know it sounds beautiful. It's a traditional English choir. It's a beautiful hymn. But if you're listening to it and you can't see the lyrics, you might not understand what they're saying in that particular verse. The page speaking to his king, "Sire, the night is darker now and the wind blows stronger. Fails my heart, I know not how, I can go no longer." The monarch responds, "Mark my footsteps, good my page. Tread thou in them boldly. Thou shalt find the winter's rage freeze thy blood less coldly." And then the choir joins in. "In his master's steps he trod, where the snow lay dinted. Heat was in the very sod which the saint had printed. Therefore, Christian men, be sure, wealth or rank possessing, who now shall bless the poor, shall yourselves find blessing." Lawrence, they're talking about your fellow man, your fellow countryman, your kinsman. Your kinsmen, that's what they were talking about. There is nothing antithetical within the doctrines of Christianity with ethno-nationalism and a nation state. I think there is a biblical defense of ethno-nationalism. I don't think it is antithetical to believe that your ancestors and your forebears were wrong for not having mixed with the different races of humanity. Correct me if I'm wrong in that, Lawrence.
No, you're absolutely correct. You're spot on. But as we can see, what's happening with the massive immigration and the acceptance of the tolerance and diversity and inclusion and almost everything, and this incessant hatred and attack on the white race. And we have to ask the question, why? Why is that? And I think it's because the enemies of Jesus Christ and his covenant people understand who we are. And if we are invalidated, if we are oppressed, and if we are eventually destroyed, that is the key to their taking dominion. But the good news is that the God of our fathers will not abandon his covenant people. We're going through a time of judgment today, and rightly deserved. But at the end of the day, the God of our fathers is going to restore those who have honest and good hearts. And when they hear the word of the kingdom, they respond and hold it fast and produce fruit. And that's the kind of sons and daughters of his people that he's looking for. And so I have great hope. It looks dark. I think it's going to get darker, James, to be honest with you. I think we're going to have to go through a tremendous time of judgment. I see the handwriting on the wall. But again, at some point, God will restore his covenant people because he made unconditional covenant promises to Abraham. And those promises God made on oath to himself that he would fulfill in Abraham through his kinsmen, Isaac and Jacob and their descendants. And that will happen. It's just that we have to take our responsibility and obligations to do what is right and to proclaim the truth and to gather locally in covenant churches and really say, look, we're taking dominion here. We're taking dominion in the name of Jesus Christ.
Well, here's the thing, and this is what I have said before. Why do they want to separate our people? Our people, Steve King, Western civilization, Peter Brimelow, white people, whatever you want to call us. And it's both of those, to be sure. Why do they want to separate us from Christianity? And it's because that they hate Jesus Christ. And yeah. Jesus told us that since they hate him, they will also hate us. That's John 15, verses 18 through 25. But most immediately, they want to separate us from Christianity because the faith of our fathers makes us effective opponents of those who desire to enslave people to debt and to governance, which does not produce societies fostering industry, accomplishment, justice, safety, and courage. Now, those are all hallmarks of Christian culture. And at least twice in our history that I know of, for sure, Christians and Christians alone saved Europe from conquest. Now, but if they can purge Christianity from our hearts, then it's only a matter of time before they can dominate and destroy us. And with their toughest opposition out of the way, they can dominate the world. So how do they go about ridding us from Christianity? Lawrence. I mean, to me, by far, and we have about 5 minutes remaining, by far the most effective tactic has been to convince most white people of the lie that they cannot at the same time love and advocate for their own people, their own kin, and at the same time be a true Christian. And the lie goes something like this. If you're white and if you love your own people, you're a racist. And the Bible condemns racism. Now, as I said, that's a lie. But enough European Americans have believed it that it has become a primary tool in our own genocide. And having believed it, people are left with a choice. And here's the choice. You either hate your own people so you can be a Christian, or you stop being a Christian so you can be a racist. And that is a choice that is applied to no other people on the planet. What other race is told that advocacy for their own people is contradictory to their religion? Not a one. Not a one, and not to us either. And I know, and I go back to what I said before, the faith is Europe, and Europe is the faith. Our people are synonymous with Christianity, and I will not be told that I have to hate our people and our faith in order to be a good Christian, not by this current system. And the churches are a part of it, Lawrence. It's a shame, and I hear a lot of non-believers who are nationalists say, you know, the church is the problem. Well, the church is a problem. It is not the problem. I mean, the situation is you have people who are infected with this disease. Once you cross the threshold of a church house, you don't become immune to the disease. It doesn't just wash away when you enter a church building. You bring that disease with you into the church house, and it infects the faith, and it infects the head tables of each of these denominations of Christendom. But no, I don't think that nationalism is antithetical with Christianity. And in fact, I think that there is a biblical defense of ethno-nationalism. But correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes. You know, James, I could not have summed it up better. Matter of fact, I was going to say you got into preaching now. That's good.
I could have, you know, if I didn't go into politics and commentary, maybe I could have been a Southern Baptist preacher if they hadn't thrown out my entire church along with me.
Yeah. Well, you know, my calling from God is to write. I'm at best at writing. I wouldn't say that I'm a preacher. I'm better at writing in terms of teaching. And what I try to do is present a story of the Bible. And really, the Bible, if you read it as a story, makes a lot of sense. It's just that the schools, the school that I went to, the Bible schools and so forth, they chop it up into tiny little sections and nobody can make sense out of it. But when you read it as a story, it makes a lot of sense. And so what I tried to do in the Covenant Heritage Series is give people a biblical theology that they can understand in a step-by-step, easy-to-follow process. And we also did it in a video teaching series called the Bible Mastery Bootcamp. And they go to BibleMasteryBootcamp.com, and there's four modules that they can take on a video teaching series. And the first two classes of module one are free, and there's no obligation to go forward. And, if people don't like reading or they have a hard time reading, they can be taught. I try to just not teach, but train people how to understand what the Bible says and means. And so I don't want to tell people what to believe. But I want to show them, look, here's a map, and we're going to go through this story, and you fill in the blanks. And, when they come out of it, they go, wow, I've never seen the Bible like that before. And that's their start. And so I'm excited about these materials because I know that our people are ignorant of this, but if they just engage, a whole new world is going to open up. The Bible is going to open up. Their heritage is going to open up, and they can see God's plan and be involved in it.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. Steve King, Peter Brimelow, Lawrence Blanchard, 1, 2, and 3, the first 3 hours of our Christmas season here, kicking off here in late November, just the first Saturday post-Thanksgiving. going to be a tough act to follow throughout December. But one thing I can promise you is that we're going to have that great Christmas music throughout the rest of the year here on TPC. And for more information about Lawrence Blanchard, YourBiblicalHeritage.com. Really could have gone a full 3 hours with you tonight, sir. Your biblical heritage. The world is unstable. Our future is uncertain. Do you wonder if there's any hope to reclaim our future and thrive? You can get the answers at YourBiblicalHeritage.com. More books by Lawrence Blanchard, Bible Mastery Boot Camp, he just mentioned, Bible and Theology, homeschool curriculum. I have 3 kids. We homeschool them all. Check it out at YourBiblicalHeritage.com. Lawrence, I hope this is the first of more appearances on this program to come. Thank you so much, and Merry Christmas.
Thank you so much, and thanks for the opportunity.
We will talk to you again, I do believe, for everyone who has been a part of the program tonight, our dutiful and wonderful production staff and crew, for Steve King and Peter Brimelow, Lawrence Blanchard. I'm James Edwards. We'll see you next week. So much more to come as we head into December. Only 1 month to go in the year, but we're going to pack it full. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.